Yo, what is up, guys? It's me, Zach Lee. Welcome back to The Dish. This is episode 5. We got some things to talk about today, but first, let's introduce the co-hosts. First up, we got B-Souls. Want to see what's up?
What's good, everybody? Welcome back. Episode 5. I hope y'all enjoyed the last one with NBA Storyteller. If y'all haven't checked that out, go ahead and check that out. But let's get right into these topics, man.
All right, for sure. The next up, we got Dom Church. Want to see what's good?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Dom Church 97, a.k.a. Domzo Ball, a.k.a. your mom's favorite midnight snack. How you guys been? It felt like it's been a while.
Speaking of it's been a while since the Lakers have won.
That transition was clean, by the way.
thank you. It's been 9-game losing streak. They've been getting smacked around by just about everyone. Almost beat the Rockets, but it didn't happen. And someone who's been catching a lot of blame for that is Luke Walton, especially when it comes to LaVar Ball. He just called out Luke Walton today and said the guys don't respect him anymore. He can't coach this team. Like, they don't give him high fives when he comes out the game. He's too young of a coach, and he is a problem with the Lakers. What do you guys think? Is this time up in L.A.?
I want to hear Dom first because he's a Lakers fan.
Okay, well, contrary to the belief of a lot of Lakers fans, I like Luke Walton, all right? The team looks nice with him, with his system, what he's trying to do. I like what he's trying to do. I like what he's trying to build. I feel like we just need to give it time. That's a big issue in professional sports. I don't see how we're giving these young head coaches, these young ass teams, but we don't give them time to let the talent develop and build what they're working with. How do you expect somebody to draft somebody, but you only give them 1 year to try to make it work? Like, you give him time. This team's young. We have no vets. One of our best players that's technically a vet in the league, in KCP, he's not even a damn vet. He's just one of our most polished players. This nigga is just now able to play away games. Like, we had somebody that literally only played home games and had an ankle monitor on. Like, Brook Lopez is a shell of himself. I am so mad I put so much hype on his name last year. And yeah, this is what he
Dom
does.
Dom was the biggest Brook Lopez fan.
Is it him being a shell of himself or Luke Walton not knowing how to use him?
What? Luke Walton not know how to use him? It's Brook Lopez.
What did Brad Stevens have when he came into the league?
What did Brad Stevens have? I mean, touche. But how long has Brad Stevens been coaching the Celtics?
He made it to the playoffs in like 3 years.
Okay, isn't this Luke Walton's second year with the team?
You're right.
Oh, I'm just saying. So, in Brad Stevens' third year, he got to the playoffs. Can we wait till Luke Walton's third year to see what the team is if we're going to compare him to Brad Stevens and the Celtics? Like I said,
yeah,
give him time.
I don't know. I don't know if it's time to fire him, but I think, like, the him being under fire is kind of – you can't blame people, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I just feel like if we're – stop pointing fingers and just let's realize this team is a young team. We had high expectations. It's like the Timberwolves last year. We had high expectations for a young-ass team, and look what happened. They still needed to grow. They still needed that guy, supposedly is Jimmy Butler, to put them over the hump. I mean, hey, we need that guy or those guys. That's just what we need. We're a young team, and we're pushing the top teams in the West to OT games, to close games. We just can't finish because we're young. Our guys can still be in college right now. So I'm not really stressing this. Yeah, yes, I thought we would make the playoffs. And, I mean, hell, the team looks good at times, but we still have a lot to overcome. Yeah, at times we look good, and at times I'm asking, what are you doing, Randall? What are you doing, Nance? What are you doing? Like, it's so many what are you doing moments. It's just like, you got to let them grow. You got to let these kids grow and just let them play. I'm not going to be critical. I was too critical last year, and I'm not going to do the same thing. I'm going to love my team. I'm going to cherish my team, and I'm going to watch them grow because I see the potential in them. And I don't think we should fire Luke Walton. He's better than who was it? Byron Scott? I like this team way better than any Byron Scott team I've seen.
Yeah. But when do you think enough's enough?
Third year. If we get a superstar, at least one superstar his third year, he got, like, this team has to at least be eighth or ninth seed.
What if you guys don't get
ninth
a
seed?
Next
if Wait, we don't you ninth seed.
Yeah.
If you go out and get Paul George, you'd be like, ninth seed's a good spot for us next year.
I mean, Anthony Davis and Boogie are a fucking ninth seed. They can't make past the hump, and their team.
Their whole cohesive team is trash, though.
Yeah, their whole team is trash.
Listen, I don't know what we're gonna look like next year. So if we just get Paul George, we'll have Paul George. We'll have Lonzo. We'll have Brandon Ingram. We have what? Kyle Kuzma, and who else? We might trade Clarkson. Lopez isn't going to be there. Free Zubac. Who are we going to have? So I need to see what our team looks like for me to say. That's what?
That's still more than the Pelicans got right now.
I mean, touche. That is very true.
I mean, let's not talk about, like, free agency and stuff. If Luke Walton is given the same situation next year, what would it take? What would it take for him?
Man, they got to be at least coming close to the A seed. That's what I'm saying. I want to see some progression.
That's why I said ninth seed. Ninth seed is progression from the, worst team in the West.
If they keep exactly what they got, they don't get anyone. If they get someone, I'm expecting better.
But see, only reason I said eighth and ninth seed is because we know Paul George is in clutch. And that's our issue. We need someone that's clutch.
But so still, you just said
PG. That's not going to help. Like, that's not going to. That's not going to win us games.
If it's not going to help, then what's the point of getting him in the first place?
I mean, that's the thing. If we get him, we don't have to rely on him in the clutch. We can ride him out all game, and then when a clutch moment comes, we can just throw some Kuzma in there, throw some Ingram in there.
I don't even know if that's defending Luke Walton. That would seem like more Paul George just adding a presence to the team, not really Luke Walton doing anything.
But if we don't get a superstar, then it's going to be strictly on what Luke Walton's coaching ability is like. Because, I mean, as of right now, what he's able to do, he's able to put these lineups together that push the top teams. I mean, that pushes them, not beat them, pushes them. I mean, we pushed the Warriors in 2 OT games so far this year.
But what about, like, the games against, like, the Hornets?
See, and listen, this is something I've said a while ago. Listen, the Lakers, we just show up to the big games, the miscellaneous games, goddammit. I don't know what happens to us. I guess we just take the night off and just say, it's the Nets. Let's play down to the Nets level. Hey, we play to our competition.
But that's a part of coaching, though. That's a part of coaching.
Yeah, that is a part of coaching. But, again, it's also a part of him learning what to do with the team. He's still figuring out what he's going to do. Yeah, I mean, it's year two of his process. We have to let this thing unfold. You have to see where you're going. And so
I told him at least next year.
Like I said, year three, then talk to me about firing him if we're still in this
situation.
I don't know.
I think good coaches find ways to win with what they got, and that's not what Luke Walton's been doing.
I mean, again, it's year
he's
two.
He's got a lot, man. That's the thing.
So what do you see him doing wrong then? If you're saying he has a lot, then obviously you see
first
he's doing something
the rotations.
Wrong.
I don't know what he's doing with the starting lineup because it seems to change almost every single game, whether it be Larry Nance, Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle. One of those guys don't even know who's gonna get to start before the game starts. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to build upon that when you don't know who's gonna be in the lineup, how many minutes you're gonna get to play, who you're gonna be on the court with. That's pretty bad.
That is true. I can see that.
And then the whole thing about them being a young team, once again, there are a bunch of other young teams in the NBA that have less talent that are winning more. So I don't see it.
Okay, give me an example. Give me an example of a team.
The Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns?
Well, they got Devin Booker and
the Knicks.
Okay. I guess.
The Nets.
Listen, it's just a 9-game skid. All we have to do is find that.
The Bulls.
We gotta make that run.
Look, Dom, I get what you're saying about waiting it out, but, like, there's a difference between them being, like, the 10th seed the 11th seed. And being the second worst team in the league.
We just hit.
Barely better than the Hawks.
It's just timing. Like, literally, we hit a 9-game losing streak at the worst moment. Okay?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm looking at your past couple of games. They have been against pretty good teams. So, I'll give you that.
It's literally just timing. Like, it's a whole season left. It's January.
But last 9 games. You're 3-17 in the last 20.
Okay. So when we go 3-25, then I'll agree with you that it's a problem. Okay, if we go 3-25, this issue. But I'm just gonna see if we can ride this thing out. Listen, it's a long season, baby. We got this. I still got hope.
In playoffs?
I got faith. Right. No, we're not making it to the playoffs.
Right? No. Okay, a couple podcasts ago, I remember Dom saying, "What you guys see is 11-17. I eventually see a seed."
You know what? I did say that, but now if it pushes to, like, 11-32, I see 10 seed, 11 seed.
Honestly, bro, I'm not going to lie, they have the talent to make it to the playoffs, like, on paper.
We do. We have we have the ability to make it. It's just, it's, I don't know.
Like, second just, worst record in the league? Come on.
It's just timing. The season's not over. It's just timing.
Timing.
So if we just hit another, so just imagine if we hit a 6 or 7 game winning streak, the other teams, you guys, the Suns, the Bulls, they start to skid a little bit, and it's going to balance right back out, and we're going to be right back up there in the standings. Not in, obviously not in playoff terms, but just like as a 10th, as the middle of the pack team that's going to be at the end of the lottery. You know,
I'll say this between 11 and 15 in the West, it's only a 2.5 game difference. But should be better than
it ain't looking good.
Yeah. Like I said, Lonzo's missed a couple games. I'm contributing it to that. Listen, magically, if we start winning games and Lonzo start playing like Lonzo, I'm just saying, makes sense.
True,
man. I'm saying they should get some replacements. I like the guy the Grizz let go. What's his name? Dave Fizdale. I think they should look into him, especially if they actually think they have a chance of getting LeBron James. Since, you know, Fizdale and LeBron are close. Maybe they use that as a bait, some extra bait. But I think he'd be a good coach for them, this young team. You guys see any other coaches you would, if you could get rid of Walton for, like, in exchange for him?
Mark Jackson.
Those two are always at the top.
Yeah, those
cause,
two.
Because they hold their players just accountable. Like, not a lot of coaches do that now.
They're willing to coach. They want to be coaches, and they want to coach their players. Yeah. Other coaches, they'll
Mark
settle.
Jackson hasn't gotten a job again.
I mean, after what happened to him, would you even want to coach? Like, the reason he lost his job was so petty. Like,
I mean, I want to do it to prove myself.
I mean, but still, he showed that he's a great coach, and look what he did with the Warriors. I'm just saying, if I took a team and built them with my system and got them right there to the brink, and then lose my job over some pettiness, and then they go and win a championship. Man, yo, F coaching. Fuck coach. I don't want to coach no more. And it's bull. Like, I just called a game. Like, that's not even fun. Yeah. That's not even enjoyable. Like, you want me to start over in a team I just coached, the team I put together, just won a damn finals? And you want me to start over with another team? You want me to go to the Suns?
Jerry West kind of did that.
I mean, but see,
he went to Memphis.
Wait, hold on. I thought he went to the Clippers. I thought he went from Memphis.
No, he's with the Clippers now. He's with the Clippers
Wait,
now.
Didn't he go from Memphis to the Warriors to the Clippers?
Yeah, so I'm saying he went to Memphis. Yeah.
I mean, but he started with Memphis, though. Then he was like, you know, I'm going to go to the Warriors. You know, the nice Suns, you know, I can do something. Then he won a championship. He was like, you know what? I'm going to try to break the Clipper curse. He still has ambition. I like it. He's not going to.
It got worse.
Yeah, the Clipper curse got worse, sadly.
Blake Griffin's down again. That's crazy.
Clipper curse, bro. They can't. They got to leave L.A. Only way it's going to happen.
They're not meant to be there, bro.
They're not. It's so sad.
All right. I guess we're going to move on from that topic, though. Isaiah Thomas returned last week, played a couple of games, one off the bench where he scored 17 points in 19 minutes, and the other, he was in the starting lineup against the Magic, had like, I think, 19 points in 21 minutes, something like that. What do you guys see in Isaiah Thomas so far? Do you guys like anything that you're seeing?
I like everything.
Yeah, I mean,
pause. Oh, God. Okay, pause.
No.
You got me there. I mean, his first game back, what, he had like 18 points on like 17
minutes.
Something like that. His last start, he had 19 points on 54%. I mean, he's looking very nice.
I mean, I'm like, what I'm saying from IT, it's looking like he's going to be that guy that the Cavs need, honestly. They need an extra little extra scoring power, like with the Warriors. Without Stephen Curry, you've seen him, like, they're not blowing teams out. I'm not comparing him to Curry. I'm just saying his usefulness on the team, like Curry's. When Curry came back and they had KD still, then you were able to put that 20-point gap between you and the other team. You just had more firepower. Once IT gets in a rhythm, it's going to be that effect in the East for the Cavs. Instead of winning games 110 to 105 or whatever, then they're going to start beating 125s to 110s and your 130s to 115s. They're going to start putting that gap between teams because the talent is going to mesh. And another thing, I understand we're talking about IT, but bro, my man Dwayne Wade is showing why he's still that guy. I like the IQ he gives off the bench for the Cavs.
That's a like, fact.
Dwayne he just Wade, brings that presence. I love it.
Dwayne Wade's been low-key amazing this year for getting off the bench.
Yeah. Definitely my sixth man of the year candidate.
I thought they'd have more problems with spacing, honestly, because of D Wade. But maybe it's because of D Rose. Not you know.
I mean, but Dwayne Wade.
But D Rose coming back soon. He says.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, just he says there. Even if he has to be the equipment manager, he's gonna be there for the team.
Sometimes the less is
that. More honestly, D-Rose. That might be his best position. The equipment manager. Because low key, that's his. That'll give him the lowest. Lowest percentage to get hurt, you know?
I don't know. You gotta lift some heavy stuff.
Yeah, he might pull a Steve Nash.
Hit him with some inflate gates instead of deflate.
Oh, God. He needs some Dr. Scholl's.
Yo, that pic, when he was wearing those ripped jeans in Boston, he looked so sad, bro. I was like, is this a metaphor? What the? Oh, it's crazy. I don't know, man, but IT's looking pretty nice. I just don't know if. I think right now, I really do think the Cavs should consider just telling D Rose to not come back because he might like the spacing right now is really good with the Cavs. I don't know.
Man, I think D Rose
is gonna want minutes.
I think they can still try him out since it's just the regular season, and if he does mess up the spacing, the rotation, all that stuff, be like, you know what? Let's just say you're injured; they'll all believe it. But I think it's okay to try him out right now. Just if he might be able to bring something off the bench every now and then.
Yeah, I'm just saying like. If D Rose comes back, I just wouldn't force him. Like if he's not working out.
Oh yeah, for sure. Let him coast to a ring or try to get a ring coasting.
Yeah, he'd be on that team action now.
But anyways, Isaiah Thomas, he didn't even play against the Boston Celtics. He decided to come back against the Portland Trailblazers instead. Do you guys think he should have came back against the Celtics instead?
I mean, was it his call? I thought he just wasn't allowed to play back to back.
I'm sure, but the thing is, he could have chose to play against the Celtics instead of Portland if that was the case.
That is true.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he did have some say in it.
It would have given him more rest. So.
I mean, I feel like he should have, but at the same time, I just don't think he wants to come back against them coming off the bench or something. I don't know. But.
My biggest problem is he didn't want to play in Boston. And he didn't also want the video.
Oh, the tribute.
Yeah, and then now he wants it on Paul Pierce Day.
Like, oh yeah, yeah. Yo, and Paul Pierce
said
being
no.
Super petty
you said
about
no,
that.
And Paul. That's what I'm saying, bro. That's our next topic, right?
Yeah. So the whole Paul Pierce upset that Isaiah Thomas wants to play it on his February 11th.
Yeah, something like that.
When he gets his jersey retired or whatever, Isaiah Thomas wants a tribute then when the Cavs play them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's Paul Pierce Day, right? He had his chance. He didn't want to play in Boston. Or I don't know if it was T. Lou, but he could have played in Boston. Or even if he was on the bench, they were going to play a video for him. And he himself said no. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why people are so fussed up. About this whole situation.
I think it's because Isaiah Thomas didn't want one until he was playing. I don't know. But I guess I can see where Paul Pierce is coming from. Like, no, this is my day. This is my one day where I get my jersey retired. You get all these other games played against the Boston Celtics. You had your chance.
That's what I'm saying, man. He had a perfect chance that last game. And he himself said no. I was like, man, you can get it the third game, not next game.
Does like Isaiah Thomas have something against Paul Pierce where he purposely tried to do this?
I don't even know. I don't think so. I don't think there's like any beef between them.
That's just crazy. Maybe Isaiah Thomas is just like low key trying to be petty. He knows it's not gonna happen, but he wants to make jokes.
I'm asleep. Don, what do you think about Pierce being petty, bro?
I mean, listen, he's a legend. He's a Boston legend, and of course, he doesn't have anything anymore. Like, IT, why would you take this man's whole day away from him? He's about to get his jersey. No one came out and said, hey, on Kobe Day, you know what? Shaq didn't come out and make... Listen, I want another tribute video on Kobe Day. You know, Kobe didn't come out when Shaq was getting injured to retire. Hey, I want a tribute video. You know, no one does that. That's just extremely petty. You had your chance. You didn't want it. Cool. Just sit in the corner and just let Paul Pierce have his day.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
He said this is all he got now.
Like, this is all he got. Like, be honest. This is all he got now. Like, just
I mean, he didn't get the farewell tour like Kobe. You're not going to see the NBA going out the way to make a bunch of different videos. He's not going to have all these things posted Paul Pierce Day on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be trending. You know, he's not going to write a book.
So give him his day, bro. And I see a lot of people saying, like, why is Paul Pierce acting like this? He wasn't Kobe. No, he wasn't. No one said he was. What the heck?
Why is he acting like this? He's not Kobe. You don't deserve to act like
this. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard all week. It's like, oh, he wasn't Kobe, bro. He's not even close, so he shouldn't deserve this treatment. He's getting his jersey retired. If it was Big Z fucking for Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, I'd say the same shit.
Big Z. Wait, did they retire his jersey?
Yes, they did.
That's what I'm saying.
They retired Big Z's jersey. God, they did, didn't they?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Like if Big Z told me that, bro, I don't care if LeBron's coming back, it's my day, I wouldn't blame him. What
the heck? I just realized the Clippers ain't even got a jersey retired, but Zydrunas Ilgauskas has his jersey retired by the Cavs.
I'm so asleep. I don't even know. Is Big Z worthy of... it's Cleveland. Man, it's Cleveland.
He was loyal.
Who have they had?
17 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks.
He was loyal.
That's enough.
You know,
that's
LeBron enough. Liked him as a player, so... That's...
2 All-Stars. Low-key, though, that's a good question. Why is Big Z retired?
Man, he's Cleveland. He's all they had.
He personifies Cleveland. I'm sleep.
He's Cleveland.
He was Cleveland before LeBron.
Oh, God.
But low-key, Paul Pierce should have tried to have his jersey retired before Kobe. Because now everyone's just going to look at it and compare it to, like, what Kobe had. It'd be like,
and it won't match up. Like, yeah. I feel like the hype around it isn't going to be as big. I mean, of course, Boston fans are going to make it big. It's just, I feel like Twitter is just going to go crazy with this.
If anything, Twitter's just going to... They're just going to hate on Paul Pierce. Like, oh, he shouldn't have his jersey retired.
Man, Isaiah Thomas is going to be trending on that day Paul Pierce isn't.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It's so not sad. Even going to be Paul Pierce Day. It's going to be Paul Pierce being petty.
Bro, people are going to be watching that game to see Isaiah Thomas play against the Celtics and not Paul Pierce get his jersey retired.
Yeah, low-key, though, like, the fact that IT didn't even play the last game kind of already stole the show from Paul Pierce, because people are going to be watching that, too. Man. If anything, IT's petty. Let's be real.
This is Chris Axman, host of Deep Positioning, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about eLiquid.com. Step up your vape game this season. Try something new, replenish your favorite e-liquid, or treat yourself to an upgrade, whatever you choose. eLiquid.com, sure to have it, value price, and ready to be shipped to you in lightning speed. They have amazing fast shipping, with most orders, including mine, shipping the same day when ordered at 2 p.m. Pacific time, with every type of product you could possibly imagine, not just e-liquid, but hardware, tanks, replacement coils, atomizers, batteries, accessories, and DIY supplies. eLiquid.com has you covered, and they always keep the customer in mind. eLiquid.com is all about making vape shopping easier. And plus, eLiquid.com has one of the most user-friendly shopping experiences around, with easy-to-navigate menus, descriptive product details, customer reviews to help you make the right choice. And the best part is, you can get 20% off your first purchase. Visit eLiquid.com, that's eLiquid.com/Almighty, and use promo code Almighty, ALMIGHTY, during checkout and get a 20% discount. That's 20% off at eLiquid.com/Almighty using the promo code Almighty during checkout, ALMIGHTY, and get a 20% discount on any vaping product at eLiquid.com.
Moving on, though. Best trade destinations for DeAndre Jordan. The Clippers have to trade this guy because I don't think there's a chance he comes back to them next year. He can opt out of his contract unless he feels like he's not going to get as much money next season, which I don't know why he would feel like that. he's going to leave because why would you stay with the Clippers right now unless he's absolutely crazy? So, do you think, but first, do you guys think it's time to trade him? Do you guys agree with me that the Clippers should trade him?
I think so. I think it's time to break out that whole cursed team up. That's what it is. Chris Paul got up out of there before it took his career. So,
he's been taking so many shots at them ever since he left.
I mean, look at Blake.
He had a whole ESPN documentary with him and Jay-Z. He's like, right. you know, I don't want to be on the Clippers anymore. The culture. I was like, you don't say that on public. I don't put it on YouTube. What the heck?
He's been like, the Houston Rockets offense is so much easier to run than whatever mess the Clippers had to run.
Like, you don't say that shit. Jesus.
He's been so blunt about it. But it's crazy that everyone that leaves the Clippers always says trash stuff. You even have Big Baby Davis come out and bash the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm low key. It might be all Doc Rivers at this point. Like the whole him and Austin Rivers situation might be pissing like way too many people.
Man, off. Doc Rivers is the most overglorified person. He got lucky to get Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Rondo on the same team, and it was like, oh, he's such a great coach. He went to Clippers. They're like, yes, we got a great savior. Make him the GM.
Yo, low key. Nah, people are gonna be saying Paul Pierce got Doc Rivers. Come on now,
man. Bro, that man ain't done nothing ever since he had Kevin Garnett Ray Allen.
That's true.
But where do you guys think DeAndre Jordan's gonna end up?
I mean, Cleveland. What? That's the one everyone.
Yeah, that's probably like the top destination, Cleveland.
I don't even know if that's worth it. Honestly, is that worth it?
You don't think so? I mean, what's the trade? They said, like, right now, reportedly, the Clippers have said that they'd be willing to accept the Nets pick and then Channing Frye and Tristan Thompson just to make the salaries match. So, basically, they just want the Nets pick for DeAndre Jordan.
I mean, unless, if you know...
Because the only reason I trade that Nets pick, personally, if it's something that's really going to change the boat between you and Golden State. I don't think DeAndre Jordan's that guy.
Yeah, if you're trading a Nets pick, you're going to have to get you a guy you know is going to be there for at least 3 years. At least 3 years.
Or at least help you, definitively be equal.
Not even definitively be equal, because that's just going to be for one season. I wouldn't trade that Nets pick just so you have one shot to actually beat the Warriors for 1 year, then he's gone. Then LeBron leaves, and now you don't have a draft pick. So, like...
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, I would... If you're trading that Nets pick, it has to be for a guy you got two years. So this, what is that, 3 years? He would have to have 3 years left on his deal if I'm trading that Nets pick. I just can't.
3 years.
So, well, basically this season and two more. So 3 years
on his deal. But the thing is, I don't even think they would want a guy like that because they're scared of LeBron James leaving. And if they do trade the pick for a guy, hopefully they'll try and win a championship. And then LeBron James still leaves, and you're stuck with that other guy on contract on a team that's not going to be nearly as good.
I'm, you would want a rookie?
What? No, I'd say I'd rather have an expiring contract, to be honest, because it gives you more flexibility. I mean, if you win,
but
you win.
No one's gonna sign with Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. No one's gonna sign there.
Who are you gonna get?
I guess I see what you do mean, because you could always flip the other player back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
KCP.
If you get you a player that you have for a while, then you'll have an asset. Basically, if LeBron leaves, you'll have something in your back pocket you know you can just ship out, dish out, and use. And it'll be a player, you know this league today, man. Everybody wants a marketable player. GM's about their money.
Yeah.
That's true. But so you guys think they should trade the draft pick and to get more help right now, or should they just keep it in case LeBron does leave?
I think it depends on the help, honestly. Yeah, like, I don't know DeAndre Jordan's that. If Boogie, that's a different story. But I don't know if DeAndre Jordan's that guy.
Man, I'm looking to trade the pick if I'm the Cavs, because you have LeBron James, you have Isaiah Thomas, you have to be trying to win right now, because if you go to the draft, you have the Nets pick. They're bad, but not like they're terrible. You know, they're probably not even going to be a top bottom five team in the NBA. So you're looking at maybe a sixth or seventh pick in the draft. You get the sixth or seventh pick in the draft. LeBron leaves because he didn't beat the Warriors. You have no Isaiah Thomas. You're stuck with J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Channing Frye, Iman Shumpert, all those trash guys. And then you go draft a player, and that player could become good or maybe not. And if that player is a bust, You didn't trade the pick so you could draft another Anthony Bennett, and because of that, you let LeBron James leave, and now you'll never be good again. Like, I just think right now you have to try and win.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you get DeAndre Jordan, though, is that gonna? Are you gonna win?
I wouldn't make that my first option. I'd wait till the very last minute of the trade deadline and see if that's all we can get. Then maybe try and get like Lou Williams in there with them or something else.
Yeah.
But I'd chop the pick around for sure if I was the Cavs.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't just close it out. But if I was Cleveland, I'd keep it personally. Because like right now we see what like with Jason Tatum, right? Like there's still a possibility that rookie can contribute right away, depending on who you get. And if the Nets are bottom five, don't like the bottom five teams have like the equal chance to.
No, that doesn't start till the year after next year.
Not this draft. The year after.
Not this draft.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh shit. I mean, yeah, but still, like if they have like good scouts, they could.
They don't have good scouts. I mean, yeah, they got Kyrie Irving, but that was kind of obvious. But they got Anthony Bennett.
With the number one pick, like they thought, someone literally said, "You know what? This is the best choice in the draft." Obviously, this guy right here is that guy.
What the Cavs are going through right now is exactly why the Celtics traded that IT and the Nets pick. Honestly,
yeah, like, they just finessed that the entire summer.
Nah, bro, you gotta wait it out.
Bro, Jason Tatum has been an absolute steal for the Boston Celtics. They robbed Philly.
They did. And
I mean,
that Lakers pick might turn out to be like,
yeah.
Yo, imagine looking 5 years down the future. A Celtics trade of Marco Fultz for Jason Tatum and Marvin Bagley. I'm sorry. That would be amazing if that should happen.
That's insane.
Just went dumb.
Why can't we just finesse teams like that, you know? Just, hey, we got this little Ingram right here. Trade us 25 picks for him. Come on, bro.
Hey, y'all got Jerry West? Y'all cool? Y'all cool?
Bro, Danny Ainge finessed the team that's been finessing teams the past, like, 5 years. That's insane.
Jesus Christ. And then
Go ahead.
I was just about to say the Cavs had a chance to take it back. They had a chance to change it. They had a chance to do something different. You know, you gotta just say, you know what? I don't trust that you just tried to, you know, give us a hurt Isaiah Thomas. We ain't know about it. We know it was that bad. Something's fishy here. You know, none of the red flags went up. You know, they was like, you know what? We drafted Anthony Bennett. We got Deion Waiters and just gave him up for nothing. I think this is a good deal. What? Come on. There should be no reason they're trying to give up a guy that almost scored 30 points a game last year. No reason at all. It's just because
they're getting Kyrie. That's the only reason.
It's just because his contract is expiring and they might not want to pay him. You know, maybe it's just personal. You know, not because he can't walk. You know, not because his hip is completely shattered. You know,
not because he wants a max contract when they don't have money. No,
Jesus
no.
Christ, Cav. This is why LeBron leaves. This is why LeBron left the first time. Stuff like this.
That's what I'm saying.
They got an extra second round draft pick a couple years from now.
You're right.
Unless they
draft the next fucking Draymond Green, that pick is useless. Unless they get the next Draymond or IT with that second round pick,
they literally gave me an anxiety attack for 2 weeks.
Right? Like, hold on. Something don't seem right here.
I was like, bruh, just let the trade go through. I'm going to go on with my summer, okay?
I just want to know how those negotiations went where all they came away with was an extra second-round draft pick for 2 weeks of negotiating.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, we're going to get Jason Tatum now, you know what I'm saying?
You know
like,
what?
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, when are you coming with us?
Might be both now.
They went out there. They went into the negotiation. They went to the negotiation. I guess shooting so high with what they wanted because they felt they were getting fleeced, that the Celtics just kept saying no, you're not getting that, no.
But the thing is, they still wouldn't get anything more than what they got from any other team. That's the crazy. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Ah, so sad.
I mean, the Celtics knew that they could probably finesse some other teams into taking Isaiah Thomas and maybe even keep the Brooklyn pick, too. I mean, either way, they're looking to get rid of Isaiah Thomas, most likely. Even if it was just for, like, another high first-round draft pick from a lottery team in the upcoming draft, I don't think they would care.
Wait, so you're saying you think the Celtics would have gave up IT either way?
Oh, yeah. I think his time in Boston was pretty much up. Because, like you said, he's going to want a max contract this offseason. I don't think they were willing to give that to him because I don't think he's part of their long-term future. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be looking to trade him no matter what.
I don't know if they trade him if it wasn't for Kyrie though. I'm not too sure about
that. Nah, I think they still would have traded him regardless. Because Danny Ainge said part of the reason he traded him was because of injury, and if that was the case, that would have factored in with any player he got. It wouldn't have just been Kyrie. Like, he was looking to trade him regardless.
Yeah, true.
It just happened that Kyrie Irving became available. He started rubbing his hands like Birdman.
Man, see, the Cavs are such a bad organization. They didn't have a GM when Kyrie actually wanted to get traded. And they could have traded him for Chris Paul. Like, the fact that trade could have been made. And I don't see why neither team would have said no in that situation. Why wouldn't you trade those two? That trade literally could have been made. Chris Paul asked to be traded, what, 2 weeks after Kyrie did? Just the Cavs didn't have a GM to make the deals go through. And by the time they got a GM, guess what? He's on the Rockets. For Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell.
And Sam Decker.
Yeah. It's not like they would have took Kyrie in a heartbeat with just Kyrie straight up. Honestly, that probably would have been a straight up trade.
I wouldn't want to see that happen to Kyrie.
Yeah, that is low-key bad. But, man, listen, think about the actual good parts of Banana Boat would have actually been on Cleveland. I'd like to see that. I'm just saying, all we've been hearing for the past like 2 years is the Banana Boat team. We would have actually got to see it. I think it would have worked.
I mean, there was a rumor I heard where the Cavs were going to trade Kyrie and get Eric Bledsoe and Paul George.
Yeah. It was. They say it was like finalized. Other two teams have agreed, but the Cavs backed out.
The Cavs? What?
They're stupid. Because they didn't get enough second round picks.
The Cavs backed out?
The Cavs backed out,
why?
Yeah.
Why? Oh my God.
Well, no, I thought it was because, wasn't it because they want to make that deal, but they were like, if that would make LeBron stay, and LeBron was like, he wouldn't stay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, like LeBron was like, that's not going to make me stay, so they decided to back out of it.
And he was like, Kyrie, I'm not going to commit.
Yeah, he wasn't committing because of that trade, and then Kyrie heard about that, and I guess from what I heard, Kyrie heard about that deal, and his name was in it, and he thought LeBron wanted the deal to go through. He thought LeBron wanted to trade it, but in reality, the GMs or whatever wanted that made that deal to see if LeBron would stay, and he didn't.
And that's when Kyrie came out and asked for a trade because he was like, I saw my name in some trade rumors.
But LeBron and Kyrie never talked about it, which is odd. I don't see why you don't just go to your teammates. You won a finals. You're LeBron.
We're in the finals.
Like, thank you. You're in the finals the past 3 years. Like, you're LeBron and Kyrie. Why wouldn't you just say, hey, LeBron, did you want me traded for PG and Eric Bledsoe? Is that what this is? And LeBron could have been like, no. This is what happened. And y'all would have been fine. Nah, we're just going to be petty.
Man, I don't think LeBron and Kyrie had like the best relationship in the first place. So I think it's just something Kyrie could see LeBron doing. Like, oh yeah, he's definitely trying to do that.
That is,
you know,
true.
One of those type things.
I won't want to say that they didn't have the best.
I don't have a Shaq and Kobe relationship, but I don't think they were like LeBron and Wade, you know.
But
it's,
see,
it's not like they're like that.
Well, yeah, because after Kyrie got traded, he was saying just how LeBron, well, how Kyrie approaches basketball, like, and this is why I say, compare him to Kobe. Like, he approaches it like a business. Like, bro, this is basketball. Like, it's going to go on the court. It's going to stay on the court. And LeBron is bringing like personal and emotional aspects into it. And basically, from what I heard from Kyrie too, was like, he will always say like, oh, well, when I was with Wade, he did this and Wade did this and he would do that. And Kyrie's just like, nigga, I'm Kyrie. I'm not Dwayne Wade. Like, bro, this is luscious ball. You're taking it further than ball. It doesn't need to go that far. So that could have been the main, well, that I feel like that's the main reason all this struggle starting to happen, what started to happen. And you can see it when Kyrie's in the, like, playing for the Celtics. Like, every time he matches up against the Cavs, there's no emotion. Like, he's just playing basketball. Like, he's not forcing anything. And I love it. I like seeing this version of Kyrie.
What's good, y'all? This is your boy Justin, aka Just Blaze, host of Above the Rim. And if you want a raw take on the NBA, Above the Rim is a show for you. With dope beats and entertaining guests each week, we offer a great new insight on all things NBA. You don't want to miss it. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Almighty Baller Network.
Wait, did you guys hear that story that came about Kyrie Irving and Tyronn Lue?
No, what happened?
It was like, I guess at a practice when Kyrie, of course, was still with the Cavs, Tyronn Lue came over to Kyrie and was like, hey, we need you to play faster. Kyrie was like, why? He was like, so we can get other guys involved in the offense. And Kyrie was like, why would I do that? I don't need to play faster, get my own shot. And he's like, not for you. It's for guys like...
He said, not for you, Kyrie.
He says for the other guys like J.R. Smith and Richard Jefferson. And Kyrie's like, why are you talking to me about that? That's LeBron's job. I don't get other guys involved. Then Tyronn Lue just walked away.
I mean, like, low-key, I mean, hey, LeBron's the facilitator on the team.
That's what I said. He's right. But at the same time,
the head coach
just got disrespected by Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, like...
That's what y'all wanted, right? LeBron, as a facilitator.
Kyrie's just the ISO, bro. Hey, why are you coming to me? That's not my job. Go talk to LeBron about passing the ball. I would pay anything to see that. Oh, my God. Do you understand that? How savage? He had to be dribbling the basketball like, between his legs while he was saying it, too. Like, you gotta imagine how savage he was doing. Like, he was doing all the Uncle Drew dribble moves, all that. Just like, why are you talking to me about it?
Like, and you know how he was on First Take the first time? I could just see it. That's crazy.
Like, go talk to 2-3. Go in front of his locker. That sounds like a LeBron problem.
Bro, that just shows Tyronn Lue ain't got no respect from the players.
Why would he? Like, look how he got the team. What player would respect that? I'm telling you, I realized Tyronn Lue got no respect on the... I won't say no respect. I realized Tyronn Lue got overlooked by players in Game 7 of the Finals. Like, LeBron literally... Hey, Tyronn. Yeah, Kyrie's going to shoot. Yeah, whatever you're doing over there, don't worry about that. Kyrie's going to shoot. Yeah, okay. Now we're on the same page. Like, when I seen that, I was like, oh, yeah. This isn't... Like, LeBron's literally the coach. Like, this is LeBron's team, seriously. Like, outside of the owner, probably, there's no one higher than LeBron on this team.
Is the owner higher than LeBron?
You're right. LeBron leaves, the owners will probably have to sell the team. No one's going to watch him no more. You're right. So LeBron's probably higher than the owner. LeBron's the most... I've never seen a basketball player with more power on an organization than LeBron, honestly. Like, Jordan wanted to stake in the Bulls. They were like, nah, nigga, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. You get on the court, but you're pushing it. If LeBron said, hey, I want a piece of the pie in Cleveland, oh, here you go. Have, like, half the pie, bro. You got that. That's all you.
That's a fact. But other than, we got off track here, but DeAndre Jordan, do you guys think anyone else going to be traded? Like, any stars this trade deadline? Mark Gasol? Blake Griffin?
I can see a couple of these, like, teams that's been, you know, pushing the second round of the playoffs for a couple of years. So, like, Memphis, like you said, the Clippers. I could possibly see, could we see Utah trade Gobert? If he's healthy in time,
I don't think they can right now, just because his trade value is probably extremely low. He's been really, like, not that great this year when he has played. He's been injured all the time. So I think they probably just keep him for now.
What about Derek Favors?
I mean, they've probably always been looking to trade him.
That is true.
Because Trail Lazar is on the Nuggets.
That's what he's on. Yeah, yes. But he's been actually balling out for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was thinking.
Low key, he's been really good. But Mark Gasol had better be traded, because Memphis being at this bad is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, low-key, well, what are they going to get back from Mark Gasol, though?
I think he has a couple years left on his contract. He's only 32. He's not like...
But who wants Mark Gasol, 32 years old, with that trash contract?
Low-key, if you're the Cavs, would you maybe look towards Mark Gasol? I'd rather have him than DeAndre Jordan.
I definitely have him over, like, DeAndre, and definitely over Tyson. I mean, not Tyson Chandler, but
Tristan Thompson.
I'm sorry.
I don't even know about that.
You wouldn't take Marc Gasol over Tristan Thompson? What?
No, not Tristan. DeAndre.
Oh,
what? Really?
Really?
But DeAndre Jordan, he's kind of a liability for
his trash ass contracts.
I mean, for DJ, but you're
at least DJ, you can get him off the books if it doesn't work.
But Marc Gasol brings more to the team. He'll give you a better chance, I think, against the Warriors than DeAndre Jordan will.
How much better though? Is it enough better?
It's better. It's better.
I think it's enough. it's definitely better.
He does more than DJ. I mean, he can do. Well, he can't really like catch lobs, but I mean, that's not really.
Is that really?
Like, I mean, if they throw a lob, it's to LeBron anyway. So,
catching lobs like the issue here.
Catching lobs, and then I guess he's a better rebounder too. But he's gonna have more mismatches. Once the Warriors go small, you're going to have a hard time keeping DeAndre Jordan on the court. Marc Gasol can at least stay out there because he's a bit of a better team. I don't know.
Marc Gasol is a better team defender. I don't know. He fixes the spacing issue. That's another thing. You can have, with him and Kevin Love, that's a dangerous little.
Yeah, he can shoot.
That's a dangerous little combo. Like, one play high post, one play low post. Either one of them go to the corner, leave the post to the other player.
You know,
that's,
he's
more rest
smarter
for LeBron
than DeAndre Jordan. Like, he's a higher basketball IQ.
That's even more rest for LeBron, honestly. If you put D-Wade, Love, and goddamn Marc Gasol on the court, yeah, LeBron and Isaiah Thomas can come off the court.
I think Gasol would probably be a great fit for Cleveland.
Definitely.
Can you imagine? I think he's a great fit. He's a great fit. I just don't know if it's enough. I don't know if it's still worth the Nets pick.
Yeah, I see. The Nets pick, I don't know. I don't know if I'm giving the Nets pick up for Marc Gasol.
I don't know if Marc Gasol trades. I don't know if the Grizzlies trade Marc Gasol without the Nets pick. Man, that's the thing.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
They trade Marc Gasol from the Nets pick?
No, without the next pick.
Yeah, without.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. What else do the Cavs have?
Exactly, but I don't think the Cavs will trade the Nets pick. Or I don't think it's worth it to trade the Nets pick for Gasol.
I'm just saying, if the trade deadline comes and the Cavs still have the Nets pick, I mean, they might as well just not exist as a franchise anymore because even with that pick, if LeBron leaves, when will they ever be relevant again? Like, let's be real here.
Those are facts.
Nets pick.
No, that Nets pick ain't saving them.
Oh my God.
I mean, if LeBron didn't come back, even with Kyrie Irving, they still never would have been relevant again.
That's true.
Those are facts.
I can't contest it.
So I think they need to do everything they can to keep LeBron. And unless he says, hey, keep that Nets pick and I'm staying, because I don't know why he would say that, I'm looking to trade the Nets pick. And if Marc Gasol is the best you can get, then you get Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
I don't know if you rush it that bad, man. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth rushing.
Well, man, it was whatever. Sorry.
See, this is the type of shit that I was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. That's probably what Danny Ainge was thinking. Like, I don't want to deal with this. Give me Kyrie. He got Kyrie in the process of getting rid of this problem.
He was like, should I trade this? I don't know.
That's crazy. Shouts to Danny Ainge, the finesse god.
Having too much options is a bad thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, you'll be up every night thinking about, like, should I do this?
He's such a finesse god. People thought he got finessed until like 6 months later.
This nigga B-Souls. He's such a finesse god that he made you think he was getting finessed. But he's the finesse god.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he finessed your thought of finessing him. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Bro, he probably convinced the Cavs at that meeting that we were talking about that he was getting finessed.
Yeah, they're like, oh, come on now. You know I'm losing. Come on now.
Like, matter of fact, we're going to take back Jay Crowder. Wait, Isaiah Thomas, how about we give you Marcus Smart instead?
Like, he's making a case that he's giving up more. And the Cavs are like, you're right.
Like, man, listen, I understand y'all want more picks, but you got to understand, we're giving you Zizic. Are you really going to be able to pick anybody better than Zizic in this draft? Like, come on.
Come on now, come on now. Great prospect, great prospect.
Great prospect.
Like, man. Can you imagine the pitch they made for Zizic? Like, listen, we'll give you a 7-footer. How about that?
Yeah. Y'all need another big man. What you got, Tristan Thompson?
Come on, bro.
Channing Frye.
I heard what happened with Andrew Bogut, right? So we gonna get you, we gonna give you 20-year-old Andrew Bogut right here.
20-year-old Andrew Bogut. I can't.
He's like, meet Ante Zizek, Andrew Bogut without the broken bones.
No.
Shots fired.
No.
Shots fired. If you get that, you're a real one. If you got that right there, you're a real one, bro. Shout out to all my real ones out there,
you're,
man.
You're a true disher.
true disher.
Bro. You're a true disher.
You're a play cleaner. Clean all the dishes. You're a dishwasher.
You're a dishwasher.
Just called our fans dishwasher. I'm asleep.
Man, I hope that sticks.
I guess that's going to do it for this episode of The Dish. We talked about everything that we want to talk about. Unless you guys want to add anything to any of the topics.
Lakers, listen, man. Trust the process with Luke Walton. That's all I got to say. Unless we're getting Mark Jackson or David Fizdale. Don't fire this man and bring me back, god dang, Johnny No Legs from god dang Wisconsin. Like, I don't want no unknown coaches, bro.
Look, all I got to say is Isaiah Thomas, stop being petty.
Isaiah Thomas being petty. Got to stick up for Paul Pierce. All I'm saying is, why Paul Pierce even got to get his jersey retired after Kobe Bryant? He should have waited a few years.
That's true.
It's a bad, bad business move right there, Paul Pierce. You should have waited.
Like, now, the Celtics were like, hey, Paul, we want to retire your jersey this year. He was like, Nah. You're going to wait 3 years. I don't want to be on
Kobe. Let Kobe hike down, die down a little bit. Kobe hike down.
Imagine if someone said no to getting their jersey retired.
No.
Clippers just come up later on down the line. Hey, CP3, you want to retire your jersey? No. Nah, I'm good.
That's exactly what's probably going to happen.
Now, Loki, I was reading up on, because I was doing a video on Wilt and Bill Russell. Like, I read up that Bill Russell actually said no to the Celtics retiring his jersey. That's how much he hated Boston back then. He actually hated Boston.
Damn.
Back
then. That's
crazy too. Well, I mean, back then, I probably wasn't that big of a thing to have your jersey retired either. Like, as big as it is today.
It was like in the 80s. I'm pretty sure it was like in the 70s or 80s, though.
It was a big deal.
I mean,
because he was really mad that, like, Boston didn't appreciate the team. That the Bruins were selling out more than the Celtics when they won freaking 11 rings.
Man, but that's because the NBA wasn't really anything back then.
Yeah. Maybe it was because he couldn't ride in the back on the front of the bus. I think that has a lot to do with it. The time he played.
He went up to the coach like, I'll let you retire my jersey if I can ride at the front of the bus with you guys. They were like, nah.
You know your place. Come on, man. You just got 35 rebounds? Back in the bus.
Can you score? Can you score, though?
I understand you just got 50 rebounds, but can you get lighter, though? No? Back in the bus.
Bro. That's crazy, though. He actually said no, but at least he got his jersey retired. Shout to Bill Russell.
Greatest Celtic to ever do it.
Austin Rivers is going to be the first Clipper to get his jersey retired.
Man, that's so sad.
That might be true.
Because I guarantee you, Blake probably not going to end his career as a Clipper.
He might get a Big Z jersey retirement, bro.
Chill.
I was like, he's been with the Clippers long enough. Let's retire his jersey.
I ain't gonna lie to you. If the worst player on my team got me hurt, I want a trade. I would have requested a trade like the next day. Like, I'm done. Either this nigga goes or I go. I'm not doing this. I literally would have had to have like a team meeting with Doc. Like, Doc, look, your son just broke my leg. We gotta do something about this. Like, either I go or he goes. We can't do this no more. Him and them tight pants gotta go.
Oh my god!
Yes. Oh. I would have died if it was Austin Rivers that gave Blake the concussion too.
Oh my god! Yo, that picture of Steph Curry looking over Blake was so sad.
That's a fact. They used to be rivals a few years back.
Rivals?
Jeez. I mean, the Warriors and the Clippers.
They did have battles. You guys before the Warriors made that leap? I remember that.
Yeah.
They had battles. Yeah.
They were...
It was like two or three years.
It was like 2 years.
It was 2 or 3 years.
There'll be a fight every single game.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Between like Andrew Bogut and Blake Griffin.
Every team used to fight the Clippers back then, though. Because I know the goddamn Ibaka would fight Blake Griffin every game.
That's a fact, too.
Every single game Ibaka
Blake Griffin was like the most hated player amongst NBA players.
Man, I don't know about Blake Griffin.
But see, that's what Blake Griffin...
He pisses me off for no reason. I don't know why.
He's got that face that pisses you
off. But see, that's when Blake was putting his nuts on people's foreheads, dunking on them. So he was disrespectful back then.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of that
came Mozgov, his favorite target.
Then he did like one of those dunks every season for like 3 years, and he got better every time. That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess that's gonna wrap up this episode of The Dish. Thank you guys so much for watching or listening. You guys are the best dishwashers that we could ask for.
Dishwashers.
He called them dishwashers again. This man.
We gotta make something stick here. We gotta make something stick.
Some dishwashers.
Watchers. Dishwashers. All right, that could work. That could work.
There you go.
The number one dishwashers in the world, man. Number one dishwashers.
But anyways, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Co-host, you guys want to say goodbye? B-Souls?
Once again, thank y'all for watching episode 5. Stay tuned for episode 6. That should be coming out soon as well. Peace out.
And Dom Church.
Man, I hope you guys enjoyed us having this healthy conversation. And I hope you guys have a great night. Or day, morning, day, whatever, wherever it is when you're listening to this.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Peace.
Your love of the outdoors led you to buy a fishing boat, and your love of your boat led you to turn a day on the water into a 4-day trip, which led you to a record-breaking trout and a bubbling lava-hot sunburn, which led you to a new respect for proper sun care technique. Fortunately, your love of your fishing boat also led you to protect it with Progressive Boat Insurance, which you got indoors because of that sunburn. Ouch. I want to put some aloe on that. Visit Progressive.com to cover the things you love. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.